All right. Today we are very fortunate to have the one and only Chris Asamoah on the SAPT podcast.
Yay.
Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I've been working intensely with Chris, trying to transform him from, dare I say, Greek demigod to Hispanic comedian.
So it's not like Hispanic demigod?
No. Well, you
know, just changing that, just changing cultures.
No, we're going down.
Okay.
Like from the heights of Hercules, man, who I was hearing about, to the role of Emilio Sanchez in the up and coming SA Playwrights production of Border Town.
Yeah.
Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thanks, Matt.
So, was it a challenge playing this role?
Look, there's certain. It is challenging. Obviously, it's always a challenge playing someone from, I guess, a different cultural background, different nationality, different accent as well. So, you know, there's one thing drawing from experience, but there's I also have to do a little bit of research into that culture, accent work as well. You know, that involves, you know, YouTube videos you know, other research material. But I can draw from some experience, some personal experience. I did live in America for a year. Yeah. I lived in Las Vegas. I was doing a show over there. And
what was Las Vegas like? Is it like this
horrible?
Strange?
Oh, sorry. you want a more detailed
experience? Yeah, horrible.
Well, no.
Because it's a lot. People have a love-hate relationship with that city.
Yeah, people have a love. Look, most people only spend a week in Las Vegas and they come out and they go, well, oh, Vegas got me. Oh, but they always go back because it was, you know, it's very tempting. You know, it's the lights. It's the,
is it true that what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? Is that
a lot? Well, I don't think so in 2019. What happens in Vegas is on Instagram, Facebook, you know, every other social media outlet. So it used to be a bit like that.
And you worked in Vegas.
I worked in Las Vegas. I think that was the problem. I worked in Las Vegas. It was my home. And I do a show on a Monday night or a Tuesday night, which is, you know, just a quite, you know, here in Adelaide, it's nothing much happens on a Monday or Tuesday
really?
Night, does it?
Yeah. What, and you're joking?
No.
Is
yeah,
that
believe
why it's
it or
so
not.
Quiet?
And you just, and you know, you'd go home, but people expect you to go out and party every night. The party never ends. I think that's what got to me. The party just didn't end in Vegas.
Wow.
And that's all it was set up for. It was just set up. It was just, it's a party city.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all fake. You know,
yeah,
they've got these big fancy hotels, and it's all
mimicking something else.
Yeah, mimicking something else. And but it's all inside. It's the exactly the same kind of layout as, well, you know, more or less, of the other hotels. You know,
right,
you've got your Starbucks,
right.
You've got your Subways and your McDonald's, and it's just, it's all kind of like that, those franchise stores all in the same area, and you know, and the pokey machines, and maybe they've got a bit of decoration that resembles, you know, whatever the hotel
Wild
is
West.
Meant to represent. Exactly. So I don't know. I just thought it was lacking kind of any depth.
Did you meet any real characters there, though?
Well, yeah. So
the plastic.
So coming back to the, you know, the original question. Question. You know, what experiences can I draw from for this character? You know, I met a lot of Hispanics and Mexicans in Las Vegas.
Well, the word is Spanish, isn't it? Las Vegas.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people there with South American heritage, whether they were born in Mexico, Puerto Rico, and they moved over there.
Did you notice a class divide with the Hispanics and the, you know, white Americans?
To be honest with you, I felt like everyone was pretty much on the same level.
Okay.
I mean, the thing about America, I found you've got your, well, the thing about Las Vegas, and you can't compare Las Vegas to the rest of America. You know, there was the performers and the hotel workers.
Yeah.
That was it.
Right.
You know, and, you know, there were various nationalities who were, you know, helping out, you know, who were working and who were also performers as well.
Yeah,
I mean, I, one of the stagehands for the show I was in was Latino American. not sure exactly where his background was, I forget, but it was South American. And, you know, you just pick up on the, on you know, I can, looking at this character, I can pick up, you know, his accent a little bit and his mannerisms. And I think back on the mannerisms. But, you know, it was very friendly. Like, one thing I did find is that everyone is, well, it was quite friendly. Whether it was fake, I don't know. I'm a nice guy. I'm pretty gullible. Yeah. But whether they wanted something from me, I'm not sure. But
everyone, I always think that whenever someone's nice to me.
I'm like, what do you want? Yeah. Well, look, I think the thing in America, everyone's trying to make it, you know, trying to get to the top.
Talking the talk.
And, you know, I'll step on as many toes as they can to get to the top a lot of the time. Right. So, but you know, for the most part, for the, you know, a lot of the workers I met over there, they're very friendly people. And, there were quite a few, Mexicans who were there.
Who'd got there before the walls come up, fortunately.
Yeah.
But I mean, your character is a sort of a failed comedian, a slightly successful comedian who then gets a break.
Yeah.
Can you relate to that? Someone who gets a break and thinks, right, have you ever had that moment?
Well, it's funny that
I'm off.
Well, when you talk about Las Vegas is really where, you know, celebrities go to die, isn't it? So I met a lot of people.
Celine Dion, are you suggesting that her career is sort of over?
Or? Shania Twain, Britney Spears, let's think about it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, wow. So maybe.
How's Britney going? Did you meet Britney?
No, I didn't. I did a show with Meatloaf.
With Meatloaf,
yeah.
I hear he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, he was lovely.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised that his name is Meatloaf.
It's actually Meatloaf.
It's Meatloaf. So my name's Chris Asimov, and you would, if you were just to address me by my surname, you'd say, "Hello, Mr. Asimov."
Yeah.
You'd say to Meatloaf, you'd say, "Hello, Mr. Loaf."
Mr. Loaf.
Mr. Loaf.
Literally Meatloaf.
Meatloaf.
I thought it was a nickname.
No. Well, I'm not sure what his original name was, but he's you know, he goes on about this in his show. His legal name is Meatloaf. So there you go.
I have a son. I shall call him Meat or Tofu.
Yeah.
Couscous.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not quite sure if there was any Mexican comedians in Las Vegas that I can recall. Mm. But interestingly enough, my partner was working at the Laugh Factory. So she was she was the communications manager at the Laugh Factory in Los Angeles, which is just like the hub of comedy, which has been the hub of comedy since the 70s, really.
So
it's a pretty big honor going to the Laugh Factory. However, you do get a lot of comedians who, you know, had a name for themselves and no longer, I guess, are, you know, the A-listers who come back to the Laugh Factory, which is very similar to what Emilio is doing in this play. You know, he's working the comedy, you know, scenes again. So my partner, you know, she had Rob Schneider in. And Rob Schneider's, I guess, is the closest person I can think of in this, kind of like the closest celebrity I can kind of draw from this character. Because, you know,
Slightly washed up.
Slightly washed up. He's got the Puerto Rican, heritage. And, you know, he had a pretty successful career in the early noughties in like the Adam Sandler days, you know, The Animal. And he did it, you know, and then those films kind of faded away and people got sick of that, you know, the same.
It is an interesting phenomenon how that film kind of fades away. You know, like Caddyshack or one of those films, or the National Lampoon films. They're like big for a while.
Yeah.
And then they sort of fade. And you see them for $4.99 at Kmart. Can't even say that. $4.99 at the bin at Kmart or the Blockbuster. It's but you don't get that bin anymore. You don't have the Blockbuster store anymore. It's all just online.
It's just, it will just be in like comedies, like at the backlog for you know, your Netflix or your Stan or something like, going, if you search through comedies, it'll be like, you know, maybe the 61st one down from the list,
and they will disappear eventually. Digital information of comedy will just go.
Yeah,
or will it?
Yeah, it's, I guess, well, you know, is that it served its purpose for the time, but I guess if it, you know, you think about it, does it stand the tests of time? Maybe, you know, maybe not.
So back to the original question, have you had that moment, Chris, in your career where you thought, oh, right, that's it. I'm off. I'm going to make it like this special audition.
I think, yeah, to be honest, there's been quite a few moments in my life where I thought this was it. This is the big thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it never really took off. But then you know, it's all. it's all relative, you know. A lot of actors look at success as A-list Hollywooders. But if you go into acting and if that's what you kind of aim for and that's your idea of success, well, then you're going to be disheartened, I believe. Absolutely. Because that's probably not going to be you if you're an actor.
No, not statistically.
And what I've discovered that to be successful, I think, is just to be a working actor. And I'm a lot more realistic at this point in my career. And I'm very versatile. Like, I do a lot of different work. Yeah. You know, comedy, pantomime, you know, dramas, theater, TV, film, commercials, training videos. I mean, that's all acting. It's all part of the craft. And that's what people don't understand. They just think, oh, I'm getting into acting and I'm going to go into films and that's what I'm aiming for.
Which is part of the false landscape that's presented to us by the celebrity cult that is being thrust down our throats ever since the day we were born. And now it's everywhere. It's everywhere you look, particularly your online presence. We all try and create that persona of ourselves that have this perfect life.
Yeah, well, Instagram, for example, I mean, now for a lot of auditions I've seen, you need to have a certain amount of followers before they even look at you.
Right.
Is this person an influencer? How many followers do they have?
Yeah.
2,000 followers? No, we're really looking for someone with 10,000 followers.
On Instagram. Yeah.
And, you know, that's another thing you've got to worry about as a performer.
So you've got a profile. I mean, it used to be Facebook, but I think that's kind of dead now, isn't it?
Oh, Facebook's for, you know, your parents and your grandparents. It's for grandparents.
That's a scary
thing. Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, if your grandparents know what you're up to online, you know, then that's a bit of worry.
There's no point in being up to anything, is there?
But that's why, that's the purpose of Facebook now, I guess, that was always the purpose of Facebook, was to connect with people, you know, all over the world.
And people have done it. And now they're on Instagram, and which gives us an immediate image
of what
of your life right now. Yeah. Which is gained popularity because you can have this whole profile of exciting moments that come and go and disappear. I assume they disappear. Can you make them disappear?
Well, you can delete the pictures, but they stay out there
forever.
Well, I mean, I don't know what happens in the.
So, how many followers have you got on your Instagram? I just started following you the other day. So it's 2001 you've got now.
I think I'm just shy of 2,000. I think I just hit 1,800. I think I've got like that.
Five. Well, I've only just started though.
Well, right, to my credit. Coming up in the world. Five followers on Instagram. I mean,
people follow me, like the profound insights they're going to be getting daily, minute by minute.
Yeah. It's just hard to keep up all of the time. I mean, I don't know if I've got the time in my day to think of something, an exciting image to post. Yeah,
exactly.
And sometimes I feel like it's a bit self-indulgent, you know, posting photos, you know, at the gym or a bit narcissistic, you know, a lot of the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got to promote yourself, don't you? And it depends. If it leads towards some kind of activity or performance, that's the most important thing. So tell me more about America. America was, for you, a seminal experience.
Look, I was in a show called Thunder from Down Under.
Okay.
Which was like, it's the number one male review in the world.
Did you have a choreographer?
Yeah, we did. We did have a choreographer. I'd never done anything like that before.
And did you do thematic dances?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So it would be like a Spartan routine and there was a sword fight that started off. Or, you know, there'd be a fireman routine. Or there was a SWAT routine. We'd all come through the crowd.
Oh, AK-47s. Yeah. Actual AK-47s.
Not real ones, but fake ones. They looked real enough.
It's American. You just buy them over the post or something. You know, a Kmart.
But it was a bit of a...
So you literally get into the crowd in SWAT outfits with fake guns.
With fake guns.
Like with laser shooting each other.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty. I mean, you know, that was a big budget show.
And so, okay.
And it was all about the shock appeal, I guess. So
the firemen.
Yeah. They've got not anymore, but now they've got like a Tarzan routine.
Oh yeah.
Swing onto
yeah,
the stage. Yeah. I think there's a vampire routine now.
A vampire.
Yeah, you know, it's very thematic.
Yeah, yeah.
A
little bit. So it's like vaudeville, you know.
It's burlesque. It's yeah. And you know, it's the number one review in the world.
With a unique Australian theme, though, like Thundered from Down Under.
Yeah, so it's Australian performance. Yeah, right, okay. Australian to be in it.
Yeah.
You know, RMC was Australian and, well, obviously, but, you know, I guess that was really the only indication that it was an Aussie show.
You didn't have, like, Bushman and, like,
well, no,
Liam
not,
Kelly?
No, not really. Well, to be honest with you, I think that gets lost in a lot of the American
right.
crowds.
They just
like the accent. And the,
but they think we're like tough and
they think yeah. we're tough. So they, I think the name Cowboys. Is the main appeal. It's like the Australia's Thunder from Down Under, and it's like, oh my god, it's hot Aussies. It's like they, it's yeah. just you know,
why
like
is that? When did we get that reputation of being, you know, hot and rugged and?
Well, I guess
blokes.
Well, you know, you got you know, I guess you know, you got your Chris Hemsworths. Like I just mentioned, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
A pretty good example.
Was Crocodile Dundee anything to do with that?
I don't know. Really, I think that some appeal. I guess when a lot of internationals look at Aussies as, you know, surfy.
Outdoor types.
Outdoor,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah,
kind of
yeah.
a bit rough around the edges.
Yeah.
Blokey and...
So...
I guess that's the international
appeal. I mean, you could have done a Crocodile Dundee routine,
I think, but to be honest, I think it would have been lost in that crowd. A lot of the American crowd that came in, they're not really, like I said, they're only familiar just with like real surface level Aussie
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Kangaroo.
So if you were to refer to our former Prime Minister, Bob Hawke, and his ability to drink a beer in 11 seconds, wouldn't get a...
That'd be yeah. like, why is your... leader of why is your president drinking, you know?
Yeah, yeah, they wouldn't need be like a
but then I don't know, they got Donald Trump at the moment, they seem
well,
to like
indeed,
him.
Yes,
half the country seem yeah. to like him, so
yeah. Oh no, it is interesting, the perception of Australia from other places. I remember when I worked overseas, particularly in West Africa, they had no concept of Australia. And you know, kangaroo is the first thing you said. That's when they knew, oh, yeah, Australia, kangaroo, Australia. I think the UK probably is possibly the most awareness, Brits, did you say?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of Brits have family in Australia.
Yeah, it's more of a connection still.
So,
yeah.
And, you know, a lot of the Western European countries, I think, are probably a little bit more knowledgeable about some
yeah,
of our
the tourist
culture
trade.
And customs. Yeah, and I think family as well.
And I think, yeah.
Like, my heritage
yeah.
is Greek,
yeah,
and,
Greek.
You know, so a lot of... And there's a lot of Greeks here in Australia and Italians.
Yeah, yeah.
In,
well, they say
know.
Melbourne is the second highest
yeah.
populated city in the world.
Yeah, probably. I don't know whether that's true anymore. I think it might be... Yeah. I think,
yeah,
yeah,
somewhere else in Greece, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
It's not Adelaide. Yeah, exactly. So you're getting these connections all the time. But yeah, it's interesting to project yourself as, you know, Australian and and have that just surface. You're just the surface Aussie. Particularly like if you're from Adelaide, everyone just sometimes thinks you're Brit because the accent.
Because of our different. Accent, yeah, yeah. We're a little slightly more posh.
We are a bit posh, yeah, yeah. Because
with some of our words, yeah.
We're not convicts.
We're
like free settlers.
We don't say pool.
Peel.
Skill.
Yeah. Pool. School. We don't even pronounce the L. Well, we don't know what an L is.
Or we dance. We don't dance.
No, absolutely. As you did, as you danced up a storm in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Chris is going to be opening. On the 2nd of April. But, you know, actually, but before you do, we talk about Border Tower, are you in a show at the moment during the Fringe?
Yes, I am, actually.
It was on last night.
Yes.
I didn't get to see it, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
When does it finish?
It finishes Saturday the 16th of March.
Oh, okay, going to the bitter end.
Yeah.
Beyond the bitter end, actually. Well, I mean, Saturday's probably the official
is that
final
the,
day.
Is that the...
It would have to be.
When's the final day meant to be? Is it meant to be the 15th?
I think that would be the Saturday. That'll be the final day.
So it's the final day at Fringe.
Yeah, the final day of Fringe to see, it's called Hot Sauce.
Hot Sauce Burlesque. It's a burlesque show. Burlesque. So it's cabaret. Yeah. So, yeah, once again, it's kind of like I do a routine that I kind of did in Thunder.
Yeah.
So it's another themed routine.
Are you a fireman or a...
I'm not a fireman this time.
Policeman.
I love how there's only two options, but you're right.
You're a policeman.
It's a policeman,
and is someone in the crowd being particularly naughty?
Well, no, I think everyone's been particularly naughty. So, you know, there was a noise complaint. The complaint is it's not noisy enough.
I love it. It's brilliant. It's gold material.
Oh, it's so naff. But the thing is, you've got to own it. That's what I find. You've just got to own your
naff. It's fantastic. Yeah. So that authority figure is always, of course, very sexy. You come in, look, you've been really bad. So if you have been bad and you want to go and see the show, you are going to be punished by an authority figure.
That's right. I'll bring you up on stage.
Absolutely. And, well, yes, yes.
Give you some hard take down your particulars.
Yeah. Take down your particulars. But then after Hot Sauce, you're going to be appearing in Border Town.
Again, that's right.
I'm spruiking that play. Opening on the 2nd of April at Holden Street Theatres.
Yes.
It's going to be very special.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. It's great to be working with some, local artists because I've been, interstate for a while and overseas. So it's good to be doing a show back home. I haven't performed in, actually, I only realised that I haven't done anything in Adelaide since 2011.
Wow, my God.
Theatre-wise. So, yeah, it'll be good to, work on the home turf. And
it's the comeback.
Yeah. And, an up-and-coming company and a new play,
A new play.
Yeah. So it's like, the premiere.
Yeah, fantastic.
So,
well, it just now leaves me to thank Chris Asimov for being on our podcast, which is, about our sixth podcast, and looking forward to seeing you on stage in April.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing everyone there watching as well. So make sure you do come along. And sorry, I didn't actually directly answer any of your questions. But I feel like we just talked around the topic.
Dance around.
We went on a bit of a tangent.
Yeah, like
a tangent conversation. Yeah,
absolutely.